You shouldn't testify on carrying her bill through the process.
That's exactly what we had.
Of course, as so often in human nature, the fear, of course, was they could restrict you from, I mean, this is a little absurd, from being married, like you can't do it, or, I mean, not,
yeah.
Or they would, the restriction would be she can't lobby. You can't be a lobbyist. And so there was no, the word restriction was viewed in its worst possible sense.
See, since in effect the legislature can amend this bill by a majority vote at any time, I really think that the risks of that are so small. If the legislature feels that the commission is interpreting any of these provisions in unreasonable ways, they just change the law. I mean, it's not like they can't do that. So that's why there's never any real deferral. I mean, in a sense, the commission serves at the pleasure of the legislature. Now, one would hope they're going to exercise that very, very cautiously. But if, for example, you know, they made a ruling and the majority of the legislature says that's ridiculous, they're going to amend the law in all likelihood and say you can't interpret it this way. So at least I viewed that as enough of a check and balance, and that I think the assumption of good faith should be made that they're just going to try to advance the principles of what the bill is. I understand the
fear. Of course, I would say when you've gotten to the formal process of even making you filed your disclosures and the LEC comes back and says, you know, here you've got some substantial interests here with people, and these are the steps that we are recommending that you take to avoid either real or apparent conflicts of interest. I mean, the good side of the legislature is that when that's on paper and that's all out there, those are your instructions.
Yeah.
That's what you are going to do.
Right.
All you're doing is looking for guidance, and if they say, don't introduce a bill, don't carry a bill, that's probably the way it's going to be.
Well, what would people do if the ethics committee, I mean, was that any different than a fear that the ethics committee would write an informal advisory opinion that would be totally inconsistent with they thought their rights were?
I wouldn't apply it to advisory opinions, but in terms of the operation of the committee, absolutely, that was their fear, that we would do something wild and crazy. In fact, and the law, as you know, was riddled with ways of thwarting our actions.
And we have to know that there is just as great a fear in the public, and even among some legislators, that unless you have a fairly strong and very independent board, that there will be chaos. That in fact anarchy will reign and each person will do whatever they want to, and the lowest common denominator. So I think the balance between those two fears is you appoint a committee that looks very responsible, you have choices on who gets appointed in the sense that you can veto them. You know, there are people who are of quality or there, they have extensive guidelines to guide their interpretation, which you can control. That seems to me to be pretty strong protections. If you start going so far the other way, like we had people, I was amazed when I was meeting with the staff, how many said, I can't trust them even if I reveal the information confidentially. You know, I mean, if you go to that extreme, then nothing becomes possible.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden nothing is possible. But so I really do understand the concern, but I would urge that you don't go too far that. I think the structure of this commission is a very powerful one. It has enough constituencies, it's independent, they will be people of quality with a very specific mandate, guided by the guidelines, and unless there's any indication that they misuse that power, assume that they won't. Now, I do want to add a few other provisions that were in my last submission that somehow did not get in here. I have not seen the second part of the bill, so I did not go over it. I mean, the articles 3 and 4, I mean, I didn't see what changes that were made. But there should be a provision, we think, that says the commission shall refer to the guidelines and commentary in construing and applying provisions of this chapter. Many, many people said to me, yes, the guidelines and commentary are helpful. They soften it. I trust the guidelines and commentary. But who's to say that the commission will use them? And therefore, by putting it in the statute itself, I think you give people the security that the guidelines and commentary will be referred to, and since the legislature can affect the guidelines and commentary, you have another way of affecting their interpretation. I also think you should be very sure that you assure mandatory education for the commission and staff. You know, we have ethics education for everybody else, but of all the groups, that ought to be very certain that they have mandatory education is the commission and the staff itself.
I'm sorry, is that not in the...
I don't remember. I didn't get to that section, frankly, and it might be.
We'll double check.
I think also that there should be assurance that the ethics manual will be printed with the commentary integrated. I understand that in its formal sense it won't be, but when the commission reports it, it should be together.
Right.
Finally, I would like to suggest, because again, I don't remember it was in there. I looked and I could not find it, but it may be there, that there should be a right to appeal under the Administrative Procedures Act.
There is.
Okay.
Yeah, the reference is in there. In fact, we had a debate about that, whether or not in the middle of a process somebody should go to the Superior Court, and the answer was yes.
The only final point I'd like to make is regarding the fiscal note and just the notion to suggest that in the first couple of years, you're going to have to allow considerably more money because there are going to be a lot more opinions requested. There are going to be a lot more testing of the bill. And so as a result, I think you have to allow for the fact that there will probably be a fairly intense workload that first year as people are trying to find out what does the bill really require. And I hope the fiscal note takes that into account. Although I think that'll settle down after a year or two, the educational burden of developing the courses and everything would require a big balloon up front to allow them to handle that first 2 years of getting situated, and I wanted to be sure it's not underfunded, which could really hurt the whole idea.
Josephson, we've lost our quorum here, we've lost our House members. I think, questions? We really appreciate, again, all your work, all your commentary, and good suggestions, and I think what we're going to do is break for 10 or 15 minutes, see if we can get a couple of our House guys back, and we will continue on here this evening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.